always like listening to that.
Do you like listening to it?
Susan. Takes me back to my 10th grade high school days.
It reminds me of being... It
sounds very Asian to me.
Street somewhere in Asia. Uh-huh. Yeah. With a bunch of people running around and lights flashing. Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, hello.
Hey, y'all.
Hi, welcome to The Clatch. You're listening to Voice of Vashon 101.9 on Sweet Vashon Island. Hi, I'm Linda Nygaard. I'll be your host today. And with me are Susan McCabe and Heidi Skrypek.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. So, you know, hi, I haven't seen you guys in a while. You know, we got confused last week. We thought we had a show last week and we didn't. We were all prepared for it. Mm-hmm. But we didn't because we're second and fourth Tuesday, not every other Tuesday. But I think maybe we learned that lesson this time.
Those long months.
Let's see if it sticks.
Yeah, we'll see if it works. Well, my first question for you guys is, how did you deal with the heat wave?
Actually, we were okay. We have lots of trees around our house. We just took it easy, and I kept putting wet towels on the dogs.
Yeah.
Smart. Yeah. We misted the beehives. We closed all the drapes, the blinds, rather, and it really helped a lot.
Well, how'd the bees do?
The bees did great.
They did? They're fine. Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Very
that's
resilient good. Yeah. Little critters.
They are.
What'd
you do?
Well, I was fine, I have to say, because my lovely children bought me an air conditioner.
Oh, for the win.
Last year. They bought it last year. Yeah. So it was really nice. And I had some people in who were too hot. So I had them come to my house.
Oh, you were the shelter lady.
Yeah. Well, it's not happening again.
I'll never do that again.
I'm never doing that again.
Get away from my air conditioner.
Who did you? What, you must have invited the wrong people.
Well, you know, that's what happens to me. I invite a bunch of people and then I'm like, why did I do this? Sometimes, not every time.
Was there food involved?
No, tea and snacks, cookies, you know, nothing.
You were really phoning it in for you.
Just kidding.
Yeah, really. So anyway, the heat wave, you know, it was a bad thing.
Yeah, it was a very bad thing.
No, and seriously. It was, I mean, 200 people in Washington died.
Holy
mackerel. Well, and they're still experiencing temperatures over 100 on the east side of the mountains.
And
so
the fires.
It's not over.
It's terrible.
Fires everywhere.
No, it's really bad. So hopefully we've seen the last of it for this year. But now they say the dome, which caused the heat, is in California.
Aye, aye, aye.
So, you know, they're dealing with fire as well.
Fire season.
But anyway, I'm glad you survived. I think we all on Vashon did pretty well.
Yeah, I think it did.
I'd like to remind our listeners that we have an email address, you know.
And we want you to use it.
And we want you to use it or else, because we never hear from anybody. Well, we've gotten a few, but not anything recently. So the email address is theclatch@voiceofvashon.org.
Send us anything you want.
Send us a poem. Send us a story. Send us an idea.
Yes.
Or disagree with us.
Mm.
Or tell us what you think.
Controversy is fun.
Yeah, I'd love to hear from you.
Yes.
Also, for my friends here, for Miss Susan and Miss Heidi, I am wondering, Susan, your show has been not really off the air, but you've been running past shows for a bit, right?
I've been running encores for June and most of July.
And so now you're back.
I'm sorry, May and June.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and I came back the last week in June. Because there was a lot going on in my personal life and I needed a break.
You did, that's for sure.
It's still going on, but I'm back.
Yeah.
And I'm having a great time. And today I had our poet laureate, Sandra Noel, on.
Oh, wonderful.
Who read some beautiful poetry.
I can't wait to listen to it.
Had some great stories.
Yeah. And
yay.
What was I saying?
You were going to plug my show and Heidi's show.
And Heidi's show. But Heidi, I don't know what's going on with your show. Tell us.
I'm also on summer hiatus.
Are you?
I will return in middle August.
Okay.
So I think it's the second Thursday of August. And we return to reggae music, Borderlines, Thursday, 1 to 3 p.m.
I love that.
Oh, and I forgot to say, my show is Real Talk.
I was just going to say that.
Tuesdays at lunchtime.
At lunchtime.
Tuesdays at noon or at your convenience at
voiceofvashon.org. It's a really interesting show if you haven't listened to it. She has people on who talk about real stuff, thus real talk. But sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes it's exploratory. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
I love your show.
Thank you.
It's a wonderful show. What about COVID? What are you thinking about COVID these days?
I took my first COVID test a week ago Monday because I have a sinus infection that I wanted to make sure it wasn't the Delta variant.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Because I keep reading, like, people think it's just a weird cold or a sinus infection. So I was pretty sure it was a sinus infection.
Yeah.
It's sinus infection.
Well, that's good. I mean, I'm glad you know what it is and you can get rid of it.
Yeah, totally.
Well, I'm confused about masks, you know, because the World Health Organization and the CDC are at odds about it. Mm-hmm. World Health Organization says, even if you're vaccinated, wear your mask. CDC is saying you don't need to. And now they're starting to say, I've heard little tidbits of how invasive the Delta variant is, that you can just be walking by someone on the street who doesn't even know they're sick.
It's very contagious.
It's so contagious. And if you breathe the same air, then you're done, you know? So get your shots, people. Get your shots.
And, you know, I'm wearing masks inside public places.
Me too.
For outdoors, sure. No, but inside, I'm putting my mask on out of courtesy for other people and for myself. And I'm thinking, Heidi, maybe you got a sinus infection because you got to take your mask off.
It's possible.
Been no flu this year because people were wearing masks.
I know.
Definitely didn't get a cold, but I do believe that, some bacteria found its way.
Well, did you guys hear that Macron in France is mandating vaccination IDs for all theaters and museums?
I think that makes all the sense in the world.
Almost everywhere. Anything the government has anything to do with is definitely you need a card. But they're also putting it into movie theaters and that kind of thing. So hopefully we'll get there.
I think that's brilliant.
I do too. I think it's absolutely brilliant. Heidi, you had an interesting story to tell us about how COVID affected your personal plans.
COVID has definitely affected my personal plans. Mm. I was supposed to be jumping on a plane on the 19th of July with a few of my swim buddies from Seattle to go swim the English Channel.
Right.
That's not happening this year.
I just can't stand it that it's not happening. I bet you can't either.
I'm a little disappointed. The UK, we've been waiting as a team of six to go. And there was a June 4th announcement from the UK government. They do an every 3 week review of COVID and where it's traveling and is it safe and what countries are red and what countries are amber, which means people who are leaving England to go visit these countries when they come back determines the time that they would need to quarantine before they go about their business in the UK for the citizens.
Go ahead. Depending on where they went, determines the time of quarantine?
But for UK or for other international inbound to England travelers, it's a lot stricter. The most recent announcement, I'll fast forward, was for July 19 coming up. Boris Johnson already made a determination that for UK citizens and those who were vaccinated in the UK, if you want, you can now travel to an amber list country like the United States, come home without having to quarantine at all. But US being an amber list country, if we Americans who want to swim the English Channel show up in England, we still have to lock down for 10 days, which is a really expensive proposition.
For one thing.
Nobody's offering that for free.
And the COVID test you must take when you arrive between day zero and day two, it's very expensive. It's, you know, it's about 175 British pounds.
Whoa!
I'm not joking. Yeah. And day two, and then you have to take another one on day eight if you're going to sit out the 10 days. If you want to opt in to do an early test out on the sixth day of your stay, that's a third COVID test you can slide in there. But it is a total, it must be a moneymaker.
I'm thinking this sounds like an industry.
Totally.
It does, doesn't it?
But the airlines are enraged, the British carriers, Virgin Atlantic and British Airways, namely the ones that go between the US and the UK, because they're just losing so much money on all that. So yes, we're not going to do an England trip, but I'm going to Croatia instead.
Oh, I love Croatia.
Good. It's be my first
beautiful.
Time.
Beautiful.
Yep. So I'm taking one of the channel friends from Vashon.
Well, that'll be fun.
Mary Singer.
That is beautiful water to swim in.
Yes.
It's all soft. Everything about it is soft.
Ooh, it's soft. I like it.
It's wonderful.
How did your team react?
A lot of tears.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of people misunderstanding the newest set of rules, thinking that because Boris Johnson said no quarantine needed for people returning from an amberless country, they weren't reading the fine print that that's just for people that are residents of the UK who were vaccinated in the UK.
Okay.
And so people were sending out bad information all through Facebook, like, we can go swim after all. Oh, no, we cannot.
No, we can't.
Not without a quarantine.
Well, you know, it's a very confusing issue.
Oh, yeah.
And especially when you get into the international thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So another question I have about the swim itself.
Sure.
Is this a yearly thing that they do, or is this like a one? How can you go again next summer?
You have to get in a long 2 or 3 year waiting list. But
oh,
yeah.
Oh, you do.
Yeah. So we're back in the queue. So we will probably not swim the channel until 2023.
Okay. Oh, boy.
I know.
That is a huge disappointment.
I'll be through menopause by then.
Well, that could work.
Maybe that's a good thing.
It could help. Yeah.
I don't have to worry about any.
Well, yeah, you'll be warm.
Chumming the waters.
And maybe you won't be crabby anymore.
Yeah. No, that's impossible. I take swimming very seriously.
I know.
Just kidding. That'll be fun.
Too.
It'll be good. Yeah, so that's my COVID thing. I do still have to go get a COVID test before I travel because I have to transit through London Heathrow Airport. So you, even though you're just touching down and you're transiting,
yeah,
you still need to have proof that you don't have COVID when you show
up. And what about
up.
In Croatia?
They are happy seeing your double vaccine proof.
Your card, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Yep. So you
good.
Have to do a COVID test, though, just to go through Heathrow?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, yeah. It's called fit to fly. You have to be fit to fly.
So you take that here in the U.S.?
Yep. Okay. And you have to time it so that it's within 72 hours of your arrival.
Right.
So
in London.
Yeah. It's pretty narrow in a way because, you know, you lose a day already showing
right.
up there.
Right.
So that means I need to do it about 48 hours from my departure. So I have it written down on my calendar.
Wow. You have it figured out.
I do.
That's a lot of calculating.
Go
Heidi.
In the afternoon. Don't go in the morning. So
make sure the moon is at the right place.
Totally. Totally. Mm-hmm. Chakras aligned.
Yes, really.
It's going to be good, though. I'm excited to get out of town and go do some swimming.
The Adriatic is beautiful.
Yes.
And it's warm. Yeah, you're going to feel... You're not going to be used to it.
Yes.
It's going to be so good for you.
Yeah.
I'm
Thank
excited
you.
For you.
Thank
That'll
you.
Be really, really fun.
Yes.
Susan, did you have a COVID?
Only that, well, I will say I've been working with the Vashon Repertory Theater on the Vashon Theater Fest this summer, and we had put all kinds of COVID rules in place for our outdoor shows, including limiting attendance to 100 per show.
Yeah.
Well, with the changes in the restrictions now, we don't have a 100-person restriction. We can have up to 300 people at each of the venues.
Wow.
Bring it on.
So
excellent.
That's kind of nice.
Wow.
And I am aware that, and I'm sure the rest of you are too, that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine has a caution now attached to it for potential neurological disease, which is rare.
Very, very rare.
Guillain-Barre syndrome.
Yeah.
Say it again.
Yeah.
Which
is Guillain-Barre.
Guillain-Barre. Yeah, I was trying to remember that. Yeah. Thank you.
I don't know how to say it.
And then there is talk of a Pfizer booster. So those of us who've had the two Pfizers may have to get a third shot, particularly if you're immunocompromised.
Bring it to me.
Yeah, bring it. I don't even care. I mean, we got booster shots for measles.
Right.
You know, or something. I don't
Tetanus,
know if it was for measles.
All of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it.
So that's all I've got on COVID.
Good.
Uh-huh. Well, anything else on COVID?
Can you either still one take of you? A test here on the island for COVID?
You know, I'm not sure about that.
You can't. You can at CMAR at the clinic.
We can't. Oh, but not. They're not running the thing at open space.
Yeah. Okay. Not anymore. No.
All right.
So I'm missing something right now that I really wanted earlier, and that was a cup of coffee.
Darn
you know
it.
I mean, and I didn't have time to get it.
We got you if you want to run to
Yeah, right.
Ooh, that coffee's good down there.
It is good.
Anyway, this is just me, but I was thinking over the weekend, I thought, you know, we named ourselves the Klatch and we never really talked about why and what that means, you know, except that we were going to get together and chat.
Yes.
So I started kind of looking up legend and lore about coffee klatch and, you know, coffee break and how did that happen. And I came across a talk show with Trevor Noah. Beautiful Trevor Noah.
Love him.
I do too. And Michael Pollan. And I think it's old. I think it's like a couple years old. But anyway, he's interviewing him about coffee because Michael Pollan decided that he was going to take a break from coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And Trevor said, well, so how how do people start taking coffee breaks, you know? And so Michael's research showed that it happened, the first official coffee break happened in Denver, Colorado in the 1800s. And it was, yeah.
They know about this?
I trust Michael.
Oh, okay.
So it was a tie manufacturing company that made the finest silk ties in the United States. And they were stitched by hand by women, of course, in this big factory. And one day, the GM noticed that the productivity was going down. It just was kind of going down. And so he was talking to one of the managers, who was a woman, and said, do you know, is there some way that we can get this productivity up? And she said, well, you know, these people really need to take a break. Like maybe one in the morning and one in the afternoon, and I've never, you know, so they did that. And within 2 weeks, his productivity had gone up. But what they're talking about is the caffeine jolt,
you know,
they had coffee. And the caffeine. So Michael's thing is how we have coffee's the only legal drug that the government pushes and that the corporations push and everybody's pushing coffee.
That's true.
So he decided he wanted to see what would happen if he abstained completely. And he just went cold turkey for 3 months. And he said the first week was just miserable, horrible misery.
Yeah.
But after that, he felt fine. And he said, but I missed the coffee. He said, it wasn't as much the caffeine. It was kind of the ceremony of it and the smell of it and the feel of it. And then Trevor said, so do you still not, you still don't drink coffee? He said, oh, no. He said, the end of 3 months, I went right back to it. And he said he had it's an Italian name, I don't know, but he said it's a little like a cappuccino, but it has less cream.
Huh.
And he said it was the best cup of coffee he'd ever had. And a half an hour later, he said, I was wired.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
<You know? laughs> So anyway, there are a few stories out there that are similar to where did the coffee break start. But
I love that.
I like his story. There's some other stories of, you know, somebody else said it happened somewhere else. And somebody else said it happened in the 1600s. And whatever. That's fine. It's all coffee. And are you coffee drinkers?
I am, for sure.
Oh, I am.
Yeah.
I'm what used to be called a coffee achiever.
Yeah.
I still use that term.
Yeah. Well, you know, the coffee break thing is entwined with the 8-hour workday. And that's you know, that's how it started. And in 1920, a full page ad in the Washington, D.C. Evening Star in Washington, D.C. included 6 tips for how to make a cup at home in 1920.
Wow.
Reminding sippers that all coffee is clear when properly strained.
Ew.
No way.
No, I don't think so. And, you know, then within a few decades, the coffee break just became a ritual. And it's where you learned what's going on with your parents or her parents or her kids or his business or whatever is happening. The Atlanta Constitution published an article that says the coffee break is more than goofing off. It's the town meeting brought up to date and dressed in work clothes.
Oh, I like that. That's beautiful. Great.
You know, so I think we're aptly named.
Oh, definitely.
Well, except that it's too late for coffee when we do our show.
Well, that's
at
the other thing, isn't it? Yeah.
So we're clatching without the coffee.
Without the coffee or the baked goods.
The baked goods are not. It's not too late for baked goods.
I know.
Blink, blink.
Yeah, but
and wink, wink, and nudge, nudge.
Okay, so you're not even gonna. No, I have to tell you, you're not even gonna believe this.
Okay.
Today was the day that I was gonna bring coffee cake because we're talking coffee and coffee coffee.
What happened?
Well, I was cooking this morning. You know, I cook for an elderly couple on the island, and I make food for them. And I was cooking for them this morning, and I made a chicken pot pie.
Okay.
And it was beautiful. Oh, my gosh, was it beautiful. I put egg wash on the crust, and it was just gorgeous. And I pulled it out of the oven and dropped it.
Okie doke.
I dropped it.
No.
I mean, dropped it. So...
Sorry.
That was not...
It's a great visual.
At the time, it was not funny. It was not funny.
No, I'm sure. I'm sure. You know, that would be horrible.
But I can't even blame that on
so what does it have to do with coffee cake?
After all that work.
Coffee cake.
It's because I had to clean up that big mess. I didn't have time to make a coffee cake for you.
Okay.
And it's the chicken pot pie's fault because I really had nothing to do with it. It just leapt out of my hands.
I see.
You know.
That is so sad.
Oh, God.
It's a lot of work. A lot of
prep.
That
is a lot of work.
It was a lot of work. Yeah. Mm. So, anyway, we are aptly named.
Not good.
And I like that.
We're going to take a quick little breaky-poo and be right back.
Okay.
Programming support is provided by Pandora's Box, Vashon Island's provider of quality pet foods at competitive prices. With over 100 years of combined knowledge and experience in pet care and pet nutrition, you'll find Pandora's Box on Vashon Highway, north of the main intersection.
This portion of VOV programming is brought to you by Minglement, Vashon Island's natural marketplace for the conscious consumer, where owners, staff, and customers alike embrace the importance of natural, organic, and non-GMO food and products, along with supplements, tinctures, gifts, bulk teas, spices, and herbs. Find them at Center, where the town of Vashon originated.
All right.
And we're back. We're talking about coffee.
Yeah.
And so, Susan, what's your favorite coffee? Do you have a favorite coffee? Or
oh, I do.
A memorable cup?
Both.
Yeah.
My most memorable cup was on a trip to Rome with a couple of dear friends, and we stayed at a pensione in Rome, little old pensione, mm-hmm. Which was cared for by a woman named Silvia. Mm. And in the morning, she made us cafe au lait, Italian cafe au lait. I've never tasted anything that good before or since in terms of coffee. Mm. It was the best. Mm. So my favorite coffee right now is ground Milano. It's as close as I can get.
And where do you get that?
I get that at the what used to be Sandy's store in Burton, the Burton grocery store.
Oh, okay.
They have great coffee.
I haven't.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
And they have Milano and many other grinds,
uh-huh.
But really good stuff. Mellow.
But
delicious.
Strong.
Strong. Oh,
we
yeah.
Need it strong.
Clear is ridiculous.
Clear. What
is it clear? It has to be incredibly yeah. opaque. My husband makes what I call dirt.
Yeah, he does. I've had it.
You've
had
right.
it. But boy, that puts hair on your chest and yeah. gets you going in the morning.
Do you have a coffee favorite?
You know, at home, it's always about the French roast and mm-hmm. those dark roasts. But when we travel, we have a coffee hack, and that is we bring one of those little glass instant jars of Megalodoro espresso. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's an instant espresso coffee, and you buy it at
the grocery store. Yeah.
It's like $3.99. It's
really?
Got the Mexican flag.
I always have it on hand.
It is so good when you travel. The Megalodoro or Megalodoro.
Doro.
Megalodoro of gold or something. Mm-hmm. That makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. And it is strong. It is dark, and it just is good, rich coffee.
Do you put
white in it?
Do you put something white in it?
It's just a clear glass bottle. It's like this big.
It's right with the coffee. It's on the top shelf.
About the size
oh,
of fish food.
Man.
They do have a canned version of it, but just to travel with, it's mm-hmm. so handy to have that. Just a little spoon, teaspoon in a demitasse or whatever at a hotel. You know, hotels, they give you the wimpy small
mm-hmm.
paper
yeah, right.
cups or
yeah.
whatever.
Horrible
anyway,
coffee.
It does the job with nice hot water and that. And then you don't have to eat that or drink that yucky
that nasty,
hotel
nasty.
Stuff.
Yeah.
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 Or
yeah.
leave your room.
Well, that's the best part, isn't
that
it?
That too is good. Yeah.
I think, yeah, in your bathrobe.
Just
yeah.
get to hang and yeah. drink your good strong coffee.
Like that too.
So that's my hack.
That's great.
I have a similar experience to you, Susan, in my best cup of coffee was café au lait. But it was in France, and it was in the Loire Valley, and it was in a backyard of a chateau where some friends lived, and we were just having dinner, and of course they have their coffee after dinner there. Oh my God, I never had coffee like that.
Jeez, we got
See,
the pensione.
They know how to make it in Europe. We don't do that here.
Well, we do here.
Something else.
I think we do here.
Here
right,
on Vashon?
In this room.
In this room, maybe. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
yeah.
It's
yeah.
the clutch, people.
I know. I love it.
And I was going to say, what's the best cup of coffee on Vashon Island? But we probably don't want to do that.
Oh,
well, no, you don't have to say the best. You could say, what's your favorite? You
what's
know,
your favorite?
My favorite is a Breve from Cafe Luna.
Ah.
I just crave it sometimes.
I love Breve.
I love Breve, too. It's just, you know, half and half. Mm-hmm.
Right. How much more fat can you add?
Well, you could use whole cream.
Well, you could. That's true.
Yeah,
that's true. I hadn't thought about that.
But I think Cafe Luna has good coffee. I also like, yeah. What is this one?
Vino
right
Olio.
Yes.
It's good.
Oh, yeah, theirs
it's
is good.
Really good
yeah,
coffee.
I agree.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And I like the service. I have to say, there's something
I
to
know,
be said about
nice.
Nice, friendly people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People smiling.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
it's a
I
good
like
joint.
Too. Yeah.
I just had a brevet from JJ's this morning as I was coming in.
Oh, you did?
How was it? It was delicious.
That's just such a cute little place. Just drive up and get your coffee. Anything else on coffee?
Just
gossip.
Class.
We love it.
Gossip. Do you know some gossip?
Well, no, but coffee kind of fuels gossip.
It kind of does, I think, depending.
Oh, there's a new establishment opening across the street where the red bike was.
Oh, I heard that.
The last of the 128 comments that I read on Facebook, it's supposed to be a tap room and they're going to serve sushi.
Sushi.
First, I read teriyaki, but then it went back and forth and back and forth.
That
and
was a really good thread.
That was like crying.
I was surprised somebody didn't say Kevin Bacon bought it, or Johnny Depp,
or they cut off the comment. I know it's always the same thing. We need a insert your favorite genre of food here.
I see.
And it's just like, no, don't do that.
Do
like,
we know who bought it?
Oh, no.
I'm surprised they're coming back with sushi. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful.
It was popular.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the biggest selling bunch of food they had.
I was happy to pay whatever it cost.
Yeah, it was good. It was good sushi.
Mm-hmm. He was really good. That guy was awesome.
He was.
Man.
Yeah, I liked him.
Maybe he bought it.
Bring him back.
Yeah.
Maybe he did.
We would have crowdfunded that. Someone just needed to say, hey, we want to put sushi back in here.
Yeah.
What are you willing to donate?
Go fund sushi.
Yish. Well, I think I want to talk about something else.
Sounds good.
Okay, it's your show.
No, it's your show too. Stop that. Do you guys have things in storage? Do you have like a storage unit?
No, and I hope to never.
I call it my house.
Well.
Yes. The domestic.
Well, there is that.
The place of residence storage unit. Yes. For the children, for my mom, and for ourselves.
Yeah, but you have no, you don't pay rent on a square box somewhere else.
No, I refuse to do that.
But are we the minority of American people?
That's a good question.
Well, not exactly the minority yet, but a lot of people have storage. Let me tell you this, what I found out.
Lay it down.
The self-storage here. The valuation of the self-storage market, this is according to Mordor Intelligence Research.
Mordor.
Reached 80.
This is Mordor.
I'm sorry.
This sounds very druid.
Help me.
I'm stuck in a storage page.
I want to give you this most astounding fact.
Okay.
It's an $87.65 billion industry. That's in 2019. Ooh, wow. And in 2025, they expect it to grow to $115 billion.
And that's just in the United States.
It's just in the United States.
Wow.
And part of the reason that they think it's happening is because people move around a lot, and it's happening in people are having tiny houses and little tiny apartments and little tiny places to live.
Yes.
But then they go rent someplace to store their stuff. So, to me, that doesn't make much
sense. Maybe there's nothing else to do with the stuff, because I'd be thinking, okay, if I'm moving, I don't need this stuff, so I'm going to sell it or give it away. Why store it?
Philosophically, I think it's a promise of hope that your life is going to get better, that you're displaced and you're couch surfing or you're stuck in this tiny apartment that you really want to upsize again, and you have this faith that it'll get better, this optimism.
Well, is that that's
isn't
probably
that the American dream? It's all about stuff.
Yeah, but that's the same kind of dream that you have about the size 4 jeans you wore 15 years ago.
It's
true. It's the same thing.
And they're taking up space in
and
the
they're
closet.
Taking up space. I know.
Storage space for all my clothes that don't fit.
Well, so anyway, all these storage units in the United States occupy some 1.9 billion square feet.
Okay.
1.9 billion.
Billion. And then in another place it said, a landmass three times the size of Manhattan.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And think of what could be there instead. Green
spaces.
Housing.
Affordable housing.
Yes. So then I found something that we probably ought to investigate a little further.
What you got?
There's in September in Las Vegas, there is a fall conference and trade show for the storage industry.
That does sound redundant.
Doesn't that sound awful? But
let's talk about storage in a warehouse. Yeah. giant convention center.
They're all just selling their ideas, and they're temperature controlled and humidity controlled. And there's a company with a name like Life Storage Solutions.
Ew.
Hello. What does that mean?
That sounds a little ominous.
It does, doesn't it? And but then there's another company called Chateau.
Oh, fancy. Oh.
So, you know, that's a fancy one. And I just think, you know, archaeology in the future, when they come back here 1,000 years from now, they're just going to find junk.
Definitely.
They're going to find junk, and those storage units are still going to be full.
You know, to me, that is just a reflection of the whole foundational culture of this country,
right,
which is capitalism,
yep,
and capitalism consumer is based on consumption. Yep. And
consumer.
The more,
stuff.
Yes.
Stuff. Yeah.
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 Buy stuff.
We got to stop.
Well, I don't know how people are ever going to learn to do that. Use it. I mean, I think here on Vashon, we're a little more insulated from that, I think.
Because I'm wearing recycled shoes and recycled dress right now.
Excellent.
Upcycled?
I am wearing recycled shirt. Most of the time, I'm wearing recycled mm-hmm. clothes, but I did actually mm-hmm. buy these pants.
Well, that's okay.
You're a terrible human being.
You're entitled.
I spent big money on them, actually.
I know.
They look good.
I know. Well,
But it is a thing.
It is a thing. And London is catching up with us.
Uh-oh.
Because London's population is exploding. There's no place to put anything.
Yeah.
And so they're following us. So, hopefully this trend won't happen to the rest of Europe.
You know, as the population of the planet grows and people move into smaller spaces,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the Americans are actually probably the last ones to start moving into small spaces, maybe the British as well. Asian folks have been living in small places for decades.
And they don't have storage units.
And they don't accumulate stuff. No, they don't.
No.
As we do that, people are going to have fewer reasons to own things,
mm-hmm.
one hopes.
I don't know.
But what's that going to do to the economy?
You know, that it's American. It's American. I don't know how.
I am what I own.
Yeah. I am what I own.
Uh-huh. Ugh. Or what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. We see a lot of that. Both of those categories for
mm-hmm.
sure.
Yeah. Well, there's storage facilities on the island, you know.
Oh, yeah, a couple of them.
I did at one time rent a storage unit for everything because I was moving out of one place and into another that wasn't ready yet.
That makes sense.
Well, that makes sense.
You know, that was like 3 months, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was painful to pay for that.
Yeah.
Every 3 months
yeah.
or every month, I mean. Yeah.
How much is it? Do we have any idea? I have no idea.
It was a long time ago for me, so it wouldn't apply now. I really don't know. I should have.
For some reason, I'm thinking $200 to $300 a month.
That's what I'm thinking too.
Totally pulled out of the air.
God,
I have no idea.
That's like a car payment on a crappy car.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
a car payment, and you can't drive it.
Ugh. But it is a testament to our culture, just that we're consumers, and as we travel and maybe value experiences over stuff.
Yeah.
That could shift. It's going to take a long time, though.
Well, you think about stuff when you travel. You know, people bring back trinkets and souvenirs, and so-and-so would like this and so on. And then pretty soon, speaking for myself, I go through a drawer, and it's like, God, what is this?
Yeah.
Somebody gave me this because they went to Korea, or they went wherever, Mexico, I don't care. And it's stuff that I wouldn't have brought home for myself, but I kept it because it was a gift. And, you know, there's a lot of emotional attachment around that kind of stuff, too. And so people get into their storage units. I think we need to take a station break.
Okay.
An ID break.
Sure.
We are the Klatch on
KVSHLP
101.9 FM.
All right. Let's get a quick shout out. Actually, we have these really groovy promos that are extra value-added announcements. That's what we're going to do right now.
Okay. Hi, I'm Kate.
And I'm Doug.
And we are Kate and Doug in the Morning on the Monday Morning Scramble here on the Voice of Vashon.
Hey, Kate, you look pretty excited about something.
You bet I am, Doug. The sun's out, the birds are singing, and people are out and about again on this beautiful island of Vashon.
Yeah, it sure is nice to see some action again.
Yeah, it is. And with summer comes our summer fundraiser here on the Voice of Vashon.
Raffle ticket time again, huh?
Yes, it is. It's your chance to win a shopping spree at Thriftway for up to $2,000.
Whoa, $2,000. That's a lot of Velveeta.
It sure is. Tickets are $20 each or $80 for a book of five. That's buy four and get one free.
Wow, what a deal. So where can I get them, Kate?
You'll see our hardworking Voice of Vashon team out in front of Thriftway every Friday and Saturday in July, except Strawberry Fest Saturday, because we'll be at Strawberry Fest broadcasting live.
Oh, that's so good, Kate. Supporting VOV, your island connection. Do a gooder, Vashon. Buy a ticket.
Or a book.
And support the Voice of Vashon.
You heard us.
Hello.
We are back, baby.
Hi. Well, you're listening to The Clatch on the Voice of Vashon. And we've been talking about lots of different things. Our last subject was storage units and all that junk we accumulate over our lifetime.
Sometimes generationally.
Generationally, mm-hmm. Yeah. Most of the time, I think, according to what I've been reading. But along with that, there's a method to my madness here. So last week I had a conversation with a really good friend of mine who's dying. And junk fits into this in a minute. But anyway, she said that her doctors have given her 2 to 6 months. And, you know, we cried a little and we hugged and it was sad. And I was the first person she told. And so then she wanted to talk to her kids and tell her kids and, you know, all of that. So anyway, when she was finished being really emotional, she said, but you know, I've had such a good life. She's 70. Mm-hmm. She's had such a good life. I married the perfect man. I have the perfect children and grandchildren. And mm-hmm. she said, I've taught my children well. They all have good jobs and they're mannerly and they're kind and they're this and they're that. And she was talking about her wonderful kids, and I can attest to the fact that they're wonderful kids. And then she said, now it's my job to teach them how to die with grace and dignity.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So I started thinking about that and I thought, oh my gosh, you know, so I just was kind of following my own train of thought around who I knew who had died and, you know, family members and mm-hmm. how does all that work? Well, in the middle of all of that jumble of emotional remembrance, I thought about all the junk.
It just hit you like, oh.
It was like, oh my God, the junk. Because my friend, Patty, said, I'm going through all my stuff right now with my daughter. And so my children don't have to do that when I'm gone. And she said, I've set a couple things aside for you. And I said, oh, that's wonderful. I'll love that. And then she said, gosh, I don't know where I got all this junk, you know? So I'm thinking about that. I mean, you know, after we reach a certain point in our lives, we have less in front of us than we do behind us.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I can look around my apartment now and see, you know, why do I have that? What's that doing? I don't need that, you know? So I wanted to talk a little bit about how do we prepare for our junk. What do we do? Do our kids want it? My kids don't want my antiques. They don't want anything I have. They really don't.
Our kids don't want our stuff.
No.
They are living lighter lives because of what we discussed just before this. Mm-hmm. And most of what we have is out of style, not stuff that they're going to use.
Yeah. Well, my kids have a couple really nice pieces of mine. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. That's all they want. But what about your grandma's silverware? You know? And what about these doilies?
The china.
And the china and all that stuff, you know?
And photographs.
I think photographs are probably worth keeping. But those too, I've been digitizing a bunch of photos because they're in albums and boxes and I don't want my kids to have to deal with that.
I know. Well, I had another little personal story. I had a huge explosion over that when my parents died. And my dad died a few years before my mom, and then my mom died. And when she died, there was no will. There was nothing. There was nothing done. And it resulted in the whole lid being blown off the entire family.
Ooh,
and
that can happen.
It's a really bad situation. And I know I'm not the only one. There are a lot of other families out mm-hmm. there who have split over what happened with the will or what didn't happen with the will.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'd like to do is approach this problem by discussing what can we do? How can we do that? Make it easier for our kids.
Are your kids willing to talk about the end
see,
of your
there
life?
There we go. There we go.
That's
no.
what I ran into
no,
because I went through all the stuff that the folks who do the dying for the living program here
mm-hmm,
on the island.
Mm-hmm.
I have a living will. I have all that stuff set up. I sent it out to everybody. I sent it to my kids and got crickets.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
They do not want to talk about my dying. So there's that. But then there's all the pragmatics and of all the stuff and whatever financial issues we have that they need to know about.
Absolutely.
But they have to be willing to talk about it.
But they have to be willing to talk about it. And I think you also have to just kind of take the matriarchal role and say, you're going to sit down here and we're going to talk about this.
That's true. Huddle.
Have you ever heard of Swedish death cleaning?
No.
Okay.
No.
What is Swedish death cleaning and should you be doing it? Well, do you know who Marie Kondo is?
Yes.
Yes, but I'm not sure everybody else does. Maybe you should mention it.
Mm-hmm.
Just give us a brief.
Who is she? She's an organizer person.
Yep.
Japanese, teaches you how to organize your stuff, how to make it look pretty.
Does it spark joy?
Have it if it doesn't spark joy. Oh, you know what? That's the other thing that Margaret Mead said. Have nothing in your possession that is not either beautiful or useful, but hopefully both.
Good point.
I know, it is. Okay, so Swedish death cleaning is not as morbid as it sounds. It's actually just a practical way. You know, Swedes are kind of...
They're practical.
Austere?
They're practical. Austere and practical.
Austere,
yeah, that's a good
yes,
word. That's
right.
a good word. But anyway, they just have a philosophy about cleaning out your stuff. Get rid of your stuff and you'll have such a better life afterwards because clutter is what makes us crazy.
Yes.
And yet we still try to deal with it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
In Swedish, the word which I can't describe, I mean pronounce, dostning. Dostanning is a combination of the word.
I was just going to take your word for it.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. You bet you. It means death and standing, which means cleaning. Standing and cleaning have the same word.
Huh.
I don't get that.
Boy, that makes you wonder about the origin of that.
Definitely.
Yeah, but you know what she's saying is Swedish death cleaning is not sweeping and dusting up. You know, it's going through your drawers and making conscious decisions about what it is you're going to do.
I'm kind of fired up to purge right now after all the
conversation. Oh, me too.
I know.
Yeah,
I am too.
I've been wanting to purge for a long time.
Well, you did purge.
You had
a big garage sale.
Well, yeah, but I could have another one.
Yeah, I know.
That's how much stuff we have. And you know, that's one of my pet peeves. Because I keep saying, we work to pay for the house, which is actually the warehouse where we store all our stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So how much time and energy do we put into paying for it, cleaning it,
maintaining it, insuring it,
moving stuff around, back and forth, bringing it in, taking it out? How much of our lives is spent on that stuff?
And so what about the great big giant houses? You know, think about all that stuff. We don't need that much room to live in.
No,
we don't. Going back to your point, Susan, about do your kids want to talk about death? This article on Swedish death cleaning said, no, they don't. But some people just can't wrap their heads around death. But, you know, do they think we're all immortal? We're all going to die.
Right.
I mean, we're going to die. And the people who don't address it leave a big mess.
Yes. You know, and I have to thank my mother when she died. She had everything in order. I have one sibling. She had everything split in half. All the insurance and whatever money she had and so forth. All her stuff was available to us in halves and set aside.
Wow!
You're kidding.
Woman had it dialed.
She was wonderful. It was really great. And it made it very easy for us. You know, I was like, "Hey, Mom, bye, thanks, nice life."
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want your stuff, but But we arranged, we each took the jewelry that we wanted or the mm-hmm. photos that we wanted and sent the rest to folks who did a garage mm-hmm. sale on their own and took the proceeds.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That's...
It was very simple.
Wow. We, you know, the mess to clean up after my family was years.
Decades, maybe?
Not decades, okay. But it did take years.
To actually do the cleaning. My goodness.
You know, I don't mean that it took that long to clean it, but it took that long to process.
Oh, yeah.
All the things that needed to be processed, and do you sell this or do you give that away, or what do you, you know, there's
and everybody's
acreage involved, there's
that.
Buildings involved. It was...
Wow.
Yeah, it took years, and it was not fun.
Sounds like a family thing. Really quick, just a short break. We'll be right back.
Voice of Vashon thanks Windermere Real Estate for its support making our community information programming and our emergency alert service possible. Find them on the web at WindermereVashon.com.
This portion of VOV programming is brought to you by Vashon Community Care, Vashon's only assisted living and memory care community. Providing compassionate care to seniors for over 20 years. You can schedule a tour at VashonCommunityCare.org.
And we're back.
Hi. So I guess what we're deciding is that life and death are a package deal.
Are.
You know? And that's not my saying.
And hopefully you can lighten the package.
Well, I'm reading a book right now called The Five Invitations. It's discovering what death can teach us about living fully. And I'm not very far into it, but came highly recommended by someone whose opinion I really respect in trying, because I'm getting my paperwork already now. I haven't done that yet.
Me neither. I'm on it, though.
And so I'm getting it ready, and now I'm starting to think about it, and what am I going to do, and how's this going to work? But part of the reason that this author says that people have a difficult time talking about death is that they see it as morbid, and it's ugly, and, you know, if you're thinking about your sister dying or your dad or something, that it's pretty sad, but it's messy too. And this guy is talking about, he said, I just want to read you this quote. Despite a great many experiences with those who were dying or who died, I and my fellow professionals had little or no emotional reaction to death. And he's a doctor and he's talking about his past. And certainly no curiosity about it. Such curiosity would have been seen as morbid. The idea that death might offer the living something vitally important would have been perceived as simply bizarre. And then he goes on to talk about things that you can do and how do you break down, like some of the chapters are called Cultivate an I Don't Know Mind.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And that's fine.
Is that followed by, I would like to?
If you want to.
That to me is curiosity. Yeah.
Right, right. And he also advises that when you're going through this and trying to think about downsizing or decluttering or any of that kind of stuff, to give yourself a break and take time for yourself. Go away from it for a while.
I like that.
Yeah, I do too. Have you had any experiences with trying to go through people's stuff?
I did. I had a friend who unexpectedly died, and I had actually spent the night with her. I woke up the next day and she was dead.
Oy.
Oh my goodness.
Oy. Yeah. That's the short version. It was pretty awful.
Right.
And she had a file cabinet, and she also had two tween children, almost teenage children. And so it was just like, everything from having to make the calls to the family that your family, beloved family members passed. How?
Oh, you had to do that?
I did. I
oh,
was it.
Wow.
I know.
Ooh, that's tough.
It was interesting. I was sort of in shock going through it all. I just did it. I just did it. Just reporting for duty like a soldier. I just did it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was interesting because the things that she had told people verbally that she had, we found no evidence of it.
Oh.
It was really unfortunate. Life insurance, there wasn't any. There was evidence. There was one at one time with an employer that she hadn't worked at in over a decade. But yeah, it's good to leave a paper trail. So
something. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
One short little story about my grandmother who kept a diary from 1928 all the way till she died in 1986. And all of us were so excited because these diaries were there. She burned them.
that?
Oh, she burned them. And I said to my mom, why did she do that? And she said, oh, she probably said some things in there she didn't want people to know.
Oh, I thought you were going to say she was a raging slut.
Just no. She- no.
I know, me too.
No, but she had a mouth sometimes.
You know? That was actually, I kept a journal for many, many years, particularly while I was a single mother.
Mm-hmm.
And my children are filmmakers. And a few years ago, I burned mine and they were furious.
I'm sure they were.
I did not want that life to become a movie.
No.
Nothing of your life on celluloid.
No.
Thank you very much.
So Heidi, you have a book here.
What
matters most?
What matters most? The Get Your Snoop Together Guide to Wills, Money, Insurance, and Life's What Ifs by Chanel Reynolds of Seattle, Washington.
Oh,
so good. Here's this sort of the inner jacket. But on July 17, 2009, Chanel's husband, Jose, was struck by a van while cycling near their home in Seattle. He died 1 week later. Hours after the accident, Chanel realized she was completely unprepared for what came next. What was the password to his phone?
Oh.
Were their wills legally binding? How much insurance did they have? Could she afford the house? And what was probate anyway? Simply put, she did not have it together. As it turns out, most of us don't. We're too busy and overwhelmed. We don't know where to start. But here's the thing. You cannot half-ass it when you're coming to these important matters. So drawing on her experience and what she went through, she has a book here. And again, it's called What Matters Most. First, she started a website, but then she wrote this book.
Mm.
It's a terrific book. It's about $26 hardcover off of your regular old bookstores. You will learn how to prioritize. So you can triage urgent items and create a it can wait list or a screw it list.
Mm-hmm.
You can plan forward with a living will or, you know, create your own sort of other form of will. Update or finally get the right life insurance policy. I don't have one. I should get one.
Mm-hmm. I don't believe in it, but that's okay.
Okay, there you go. I think I would. There was a time when I had thyroid cancer and I tried to get it, and then, because I didn't know that you're a mark for several years until you're cancer free for a few years. So I'll try again.
Yeah.
But before it was like, oh yeah, you can, but it'll cost you a
Really.
Get your money sorted, start or grow an emergency fund and savings. You'll learn to make a what if list. Have a watertight emergency plan and round up your details, essential information, accounts, passwords.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Important stuff. So
actually, Facebook has an app or part of an app where you indicate who's going to.
Oh, yeah. If you die,
who's going to shut down? Well, who's going to shut down your page if you don't do anything for something like 6 months or a year?
I have so many dead Facebook friends.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I do, too.
Like 25 at least. I'm not even joking.
Oh, dear.
They're dropping like flies.
They are.
Was it something you said?
Yeah. There's a song from the 80s called Those Are People Who Died. These are people who died. They were all my friends and they died. That's the theme. Like when I'm on Facebook, I'm like, oh my God, they're dead.
People, you know, we're talking about death and laughing. I think that's really good.
I think it's important.
I think, yeah.
We are all going to die.
So Heidi, when you were talking about that book, it said, be prepared for what if?
Life's what if.
Life's
make a what if list. Have
like
a
what if what?
Like what if? Oh, in fact, I might be on that page of what ifs. If you have something that, if your quality of life is compromised, what if? Here's some examples of how you might use these what ifs to help you create your plan. I hate the ventilator and I never want to do that again. If there's no chance I'll get better and able to return to my home, I do not want to go to an institution or a nursing home.
Oh, okay. That kind of what if.
So these kind of ifs.
Okay.
That goes in your living will.
Yeah. If aggressive treatments and surgeries have little chance of improving my health and will likely diminish my quality of life, I do not want those treatments.
Right.
So those kind of
ifs. Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if I'm a vegetable?
And one more question for you, Susan. When you did all that, did you have an attorney or did you do it online? How did you file all that paperwork?
I got all those forms from the folks who do the talking about death with the living. So they had all those paper forms. I did copy them and I sent them to an attorney, to my doctor, to my children, and my husband has in the file as well.
Okay, good. Well, we're just about out of time here, but I wanted to, we have a special song we want to play for all of you.
which will help us laugh a little bit more about death.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful song.
Yeah.
And I hope no one's upset. I you know, it's a tough subject. And I think we're going to address it again in the next episode, but in a different...
there are a bunch of different angles.
Angle. Thank you for that. Yeah. Right. We've got some other stuff we want to say about it. And I think we're going to have a guest, but I can't say that for sure right now. So this song is Paul Simon, right?
Uh-huh.
And do you know about the song? Is there anything to read about it?
Well,
it's just called
just
The Afterlife.
It's called The Afterlife, and it's just a great take on it from his perspective. Mm-hmm. He's an incredible poet and a perceptive human.
Yes,
and
he is.
He makes light of it while at the same time letting us know that it's going to happen to everybody.
It's going to happen, yeah.
We're all going to die.
So we're going to say goodbye now and send you out with this beautiful song. I hope you enjoy it, and we will see you. When? I don't have my calendar.
The fourth Tuesday of July. Right.
Whatever.
27th.
27th.
Putting 14 days on top of today.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, good girl.
All right, here we go.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
After I died and the makeup had dried, I went back to my place. No moon that night, but a heavenly light shone on my face. Still I thought it was odd, there was no sign of God just to usher me in. Then a voice from above, sugar-coated with love, said, let us begin. You got to fill out a form first, then you wait in the line. You got to fill out a form first, then you wait in the line. Okay, new to the school, got to follow the rule, you got to learn the routine. Hey, there's a girl over there with a sunshiny hair like a homecoming queen. I said, hey, what you say, it's a glorious day. By the way, how long you been dead? Maybe you, maybe me, maybe there makes three, but she just shook her head. You got to fill out a form first, and then you wait in the line. You got to fill out a form first, and then you wait in the line. And all the noses from narrow to flat. Had to stand in the line just to glimpse the divine. What you think about that? Well, it seems like our fate to suffer and wait for the knowledge we seek. It's all his design. No one cuts in the line. No one here likes to sneak. You got to fill out a form first, and then you wait in the line. You got to fill out a form first, and then you wait in the line. After you climb up the ladder of time, the Lord God is near. Face to face in the vastness of space, your words disappear. And you feel like you're swimming in an ocean of love, and the current is strong. But all that remains when you try to explain is a fragment of song. Lord, is it Be-Bop-A-Lula or Ooh-Pop-A-Boo? Lord, Be-Bop-A-Lula or Ooh-Pop-A-Boo?